back and forth, you know, so. But I don't know, it's an idea, I've thought about it.
Yeah, plus, you know, I guess you wouldn't be really free to speak your mind as far as...
Well, I could say what I wanted, mm-hmm. but it's just, you know, to put a lot of emphasis and feeling into it, sometimes I get a little carried away, but the thing I did over the phone with this guy in Boston came out pretty cool. Hmm. I was pretty amazed at, you know, when he played it for me over the phone, that I could hear it pretty well, and it sounded pretty intense.
Well, maybe when you get out, your first performance will be a spoken word performance.
It probably will.
And, you know, we could tape that and release that as an album or something.
Yeah, definitely. I'd definitely be open for that. Did Charles Bernstein send you a copy of that newspaper that him and I did an interview in? It just came out.
Oh, yeah, I have an ad in that paper. I'll be getting it shortly.
You should be getting it because I got one here yesterday. And I haven't seen it yet because they don't want to let it in. I have to have a hearing. I'll get it, but it'll take me a couple days. Mm. But it's here, and I think there's an interview. Yeah, I'm sure your ad's in it then. Mm. So, yeah, the last time he wrote to me, him and I got into an argument. So we straightened it out. He said something about a nigger. He called me a liar or some shit. I blasted the fuck out of him. Because he was saying that I wasn't signed with Enigma, and I got the contracts to prove it. I guess Enigma was telling people that I didn't sign with them.
Hmm.
They were trying to, deny it, but they can't deny it because I got the fucking contracts.
Yeah, really?
So,
hey,
man,
they don't want to put it out. It's their loss, right?
Yeah, that's the way I look at it, because Everrath's got a pretty good thing here. I mean, all the publicity I'm getting right now, that fucker's got to sell.
Hmm.
And if it doesn't, well, I'll have a lot of copies to have some when I get out. But I don't know. I mean, at least it's coming out, so whatever.
Yeah, well, if worse comes to worse, you can always go back to square one and sell them at your show just like beginners.
You know, I wouldn't mind doing that, to tell you the truth. I used to say when I got on Homestead, it was great, because my first album, I don't know if you've ever seen a copy of the Always Was album, the original one. I sat down and folded every cover and stuck them together. I mean, 2,000 of those fucking things.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you can find one now, you'll probably pay $100 for it. They got them in record stores. Every once in a while, you find one for 50. But those things are, I mean, I remember when I was sticking all those things together. Jesus, I don't know if I'd want to go back to do that again. But it's kind of neat, though, putting out your own records, because you don't have to worry about censorship.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because, all these big companies are so fucking afraid, and when you put out your own records, you just don't give a shit. What are they going to do? I mean, they're not going to really take the time to come arrest somebody in his apartment. Well, they might. I don't know. It's getting to that point.
Well, I mean, the case in point, Jello Biafra. I mean, they raided his apartment.
Yeah, I guess you're right. They did. He went through a lot of shit with that. He spent all his money on all that trial and shit.
He was facing up to a year in jail, and I think it was a $2,000 fine or a $10,000 fine. No, $2,000 fine.
Man.
And, to fight it, and ended up taking, as he said, a year and a half of his life and all the other people involved, including the distributor. Do you know how they brought into court? They brought in the guy who owned the pressing plant that pressed the record, for crying out loud.
Yeah, they made a big deal out of that. I remember when all that was happening. Yeah, that took a lot of. I mean, that actually broke up the band as well.
And put Green World out of business too.
Yep, a lot of record companies now. I just heard that Enigma laid off like 25 people. I don't know if that's true, but I heard it from a fairly reputable source.
Hmm.
So I don't know if it's the record company in general or what it is, but I mean records. I don't know what the situation is out there. It seems like CD right now is the only thing that record stores even have anymore.
Yeah, well, some of the chain stores have eliminated vinyl.
Nice.
I know. But, I was watching the tape of the program with your friend from Black and Blue Records,
mm-hmm.
and he said the Cycle Sluts record has, the vinyl has outsold both CD and cassette combined, I believe he said.
How was that show?
It's pretty good.
Was it? I was wondering because I heard a little bit about it, but...
I got the whole show from the engineer, and it's all clean copy, and they do... most of that cover that they did of your song, they used it to close out the show with.
Darkness in a Bottle, I believe, or one of the, I know which one you mean. I can't think of it, but
yeah.
Yeah, huh?
And,
that's pretty cool.
Let's see. And you know, they mentioned you. They mentioned it was written by you and so forth.
Cool.
And what's his face from Black and Blue doesn't shut up for 2 minutes.
Oh no, that's for sure. One more question, then mm-hmm. I'll let you go. Did you ever get back in touch with Merle or what on that? I talked to him briefly about it, but I told him, you know, to get in touch with you or whatever. So.
Last time I talked to him, he was just finishing a really hectic week, and like we were saying, well, maybe this day, maybe that day. Maybe we'll try next week, cause you know, cha cha cha, and a whole bit.
If you want to do it, and you know, maybe wait till after all this holiday shit's over or whatever. Give him a call like around the 1st of January. I already told him when I talked to him that I didn't have any objections of you photographing him or photocopying him or whatever. So.
Yeah, well, there'll be a record collector show. I think in mid-January.
You know what we should do? I was thinking.
Yeah.
You should send me. How many copies of that record do you still have?
25 red, 25 black.
That's all?
That's all right now.
I was thinking you should send me some covers and I could autograph them. Or you could just fucking autograph them. So Gigi's like, because people might not believe it anyway. But you should bring those there. You probably sell them all that day.
Yeah. I have extra copies of the sleeves.
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, it'd be something for you, you know, you could sell.
Yeah, really.
Or whatever, you know, because I can get things. People have sent me things in here that I've been able to sign and send back to them. People sent me, like, cassette covers and record covers and all sorts of shit.
But they can't send you any cassettes themselves, can they?
No, I can't get cassettes. All I can get is the covers. A lot of good that's going to do me.
But, my goodness, Gigi Allen, the cover musician.
Yeah. But, you know, you should, you know, bring those anyway. You probably sell a few of them.
Okay.
Keep pushing them.
Yeah. Hey, Gigi, I hate to bring this up.
Go ahead, bring it up.
Appeal. How'd it go? I mean, was your case heard or whatever?
Oh, the appeal. Oh, you can bring that up. Actually, I'm not going back on my appeal till January. Because I was supposed to go back, and then with all the holidays and all this, everybody's on vacation right now. The fucking judge is on vacation, and they're not going to be back till January. So in the last letter that I got from him, he said as soon as he got back in January, he's going to try to fit me in before the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that's pretty cool, because fuck, it's only another week and a half anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's all right.
The way I look at it is I'll be out sometime in 91. We're not far from 91 now. I'm going to start, as soon as I know what I'm getting out, I'm going to start putting, getting flyers out, you know, Gigi Allen back in 91. It's not getting any prettier. Put, like, a big picture of my face on it. I'm definitely looking forward to getting out and back on the road and shit. I just wrote this great thing called Gigi Allen's Mission.
Mm-hmm.
It's this guy typed it up for me. I wrote it out and sent it to him. He typed it. This motherfucker is intense. Great. It was so good, this guy's printing it in a newspaper that he writes for.
Wow. I'll
send you a copy of that, too. He sent me, what do you see, he sent me 10 copies yesterday, and I mailed all 10 copies out because I had, Flipside and Alternative Press and shit, because I wanted to get it out quick. But as soon as he sends me another 20 copies, I'll get you one.
Beautiful.
And, all right, Sue, I'm going to let you go.
No, that's all right now, because I don't have anything planned for tonight. Can I ask you a few questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
First off, you letting your hair or your beard grow?
Well, I'll tell you, my hair right now is just, you wouldn't believe it. I shaved my head,
mm-hmm.
but now what I did is I let it grow in, and now I went in the bathroom and just started shaving it, and it was so fucked up I had patches out of it. I just said, fuck it, I'm going to leave it like this. So it looks like, kind of like a mange. It's got like spots, just, it's balls here and there's pieces of hair sticking out everywhere, and then I got like the Fu Manchu, and then I got on my chin, I got this like real long fucking piece of hair coming down. It's pretty fucked up looking.
I don't suppose you can get yourself a picture of what you look like now.
Well, I'm going to. I didn't sign. See, we only do pictures in here once a month, and you got to sign up for it, and I fucking spaced out and didn't sign up. So the next time I can get a picture would be January, but I plan on getting one. And then I'm actually probably going to get a few, and I'm probably going to have it sent out and have somebody I know make an 8x10 out of it or something. because I look quite a lot different than I did when I came in. Actually, I look more fucked up now than I did. I don't know. The Department of Corrections might. I'll be walking out more fucked up than when I walked in.
That'll show them.
Yeah, they'll be like, Jesus, man, we're supposed to be rehabilitating these motherfuckers. Look at this guy. So I think that's great because I walk around here and people just look at me like, this guy has really fucking lost it. Because I'm not, I don't let these motherfuckers tell me what to do, you know, I just do whatever I want.
They can only impose so much restrictions on you, huh?
Yeah, they can't really... They can't. That would be discrimination too, telling me how to cut my hair. I mean, I suppose if I went in and started slashing myself, they could get me for destruction of state property. It was the when I first got here, I went in the bathroom and I was shaving one day because I always shave my chest and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in shaving and I cut myself or cut my nipple and I was bleeding.
Mm.
And the guards came running in. They grabbed me and like, what the fuck are you doing? I said, what the fuck are you doing? And they said, well, you know, what are you doing? You know, what are you shaving your chest for? I said, I've been shaving my chest since I was fucking 17 years old. I said, what the fuck? And they grabbed me and they made me go see the psychiatrist. And they told me that if I was in there, they thought I was like, you know, in there cutting myself and shit.
Mm.
And they said they were gonna take me to the fucking psychiatric ward and put me in a straitjacket if I did it again. But I would talk to my counselor, so I'm still doing it. But now I just do it when the guards aren't around.
Oh boy.
It was hilarious though, because I'm so used to doing it, and when they came in and grabbed me, I'm thinking, what the fuck are these guys doing now? You know?
Like first you're picking me when I'm outside of jail. Now you're picking me when I'm inside of jail.
But it's great, you know, because they don't know what to expect of me. It's like, what is he going to do next? You know, like one day I'll look a certain way, the next day I'll just look a fucking completely different way just to fuck him up.
Hey, a quick question. Could I ever come in there, or could somebody come in there with a camera and take a picture of you?
No, they don't let any cameras or any recording devices in. It's, you can only get pictures taken by the institutional camera, and they won't even let us have recording devices. I think because they're afraid somebody might put a tape recorder on and catch some of these conversations with some of the guards, and you know, because they just don't want people to hear what goes on in here, so they don't want it.
Silly question, are visitors searched?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
But not to the extent that the prisoners are searched. We get strip searched in and out. I think when the people come in, from what they've told me, they run them under this thing like at an airport, and then they just, you know, pat them down, and I mean, I don't think it's anything real extreme. When I went and visited Gacy on death row, it wasn't even, I mean, that extreme.
Yeah.
I mean, they searched us, but it wasn't like a strip search or nothing.
Gacy, is he still alive?
Yeah, Gacy's on death row in Illinois. He's been there for about 10 years. My brother still writes. I wrote to him for about a year and a half.
Hmm.
And since I've been arrested, they won't let me write to him, but my brother writes to him, talks to him and shit. But, so yeah, I got, as a matter of fact, I got a painting at Merle's apartment that he painted of me, which is one of the paintings that I wanted you to get a picture of.
Yeah, it was, when I get a little free time, my schedule, like I said, got a little hectic. I got some stuff I like to do because, like, you know, I got some things happening in January and February.
Well, I mean, it's something you can do at your own time. I mean, it's not anything that, you know, there's any great hurry to do it. Just if you got a time and you want to do it, you know, do it. But it's not like something that has to be done. It would be a good idea to maybe even just to get a good shot of the Gacy painting and blow it up. You know, sell 8x10s would be kind of cool.
That's what I intend to do.
Because I think that's a good idea, because nobody's ever seen that painting, except unless they go to Merle's. And if you got a nice color picture of that motherfucker and made a nice 8x10 of that, you know, a painting by John Wayne Gacy of G.G. Allen, that motherfucker would be great.
All right. Well, I'll be certain enough to do that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I wouldn't have any objections to that, you know, whatever.
Okay. And, let's see. I haven't spoken to... excuse me. I haven't spoken to anybody yet about, you know, booking you or whatever, because I'm not sure when you're getting out of there.
Yeah, you're best to wait on it. Definitely wait on it until I got an out date, because, yeah, everything, things are so unpredictable in here, it really wouldn't be, I'm guessing it probably won't, even if I do get out, there won't be any shows for at least till at least springtime, maybe early summer, because I gotta get out, go to a commercial placement, hang out there and see the parole board every week or whatever. So we're probably looking at about, you know, anywhere between 4 and 6 months away. We got plenty of time for that.
All right.
So, but I'll definitely keep in touch with you and, you know, keep this thing going, and when we get out, we'll do something.
Yeah, the Birdie and G.G. Allen tour or something.
Yeah, I think we should definitely do some shows, maybe in New Jersey and around New York area. I think we got, well, I know we could set them up. When I get out of here, there's going to be a lot of things to do.
Who had managed you in the past?
Nobody.
This is all done by yourself.
It's really amazing. People ask me, I've never had a manager, and that's probably why I have never really done a tour that was really coordinated. We used to jump from Texas to California to Chicago to Florida. I mean, there was nothing in between.
Well, my best knowledge is Philadelphia, New Jersey, and New York City.
Well, I think we should do that. If you can book something and coordinate it so that we could do a number of shows, I'd be into it.
All right.
I'd definitely do it. And then, I mean, if you had any free time and you wanted to come out, like, in the Midwest and play, like, around Chicago or whatnot, I could probably handle something like that.
That's beautiful.
I know people all over the country that would set something up.
Hmm.
So, and plus, you know, I plan on putting in some ads out, like, in Maximum Rock and Roll, you know, as soon as I get out, saying, okay, Gigi's out, we're setting up tour dates, you know, call this number for booking info.
I'll probably have to get a new number then, I mean, another phone number, that is.
Yeah, that might be a part, yeah, you probably should. That way, if you get a lot of calls, you can just hook up a machine to it.
Yeah, I mean, Mojo Nixon has his own national hotline you can call. Even They Might Be Giants have a phone number.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Mojo Nixon was just on a fucking radio station in Chicago. I was talking to a fellow toilet rocker, and he had mentioned me. They had some show on. It was a big radio station, and they said that, what the fuck did he say? The guy, they were talking about censorship, and he had asked Mojo Nixon, and he said, well, your stage show is pretty raw. Mojo Nixon says, yeah, but it ain't no G.G. Allen. I thought that was great. Like, you know, it's kind of good to be acknowledged in that even Sonic Youth always say that, you know.
Yeah, I have a copy of that article from Rolling Stone.
That's great, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Especially right now with them being on the verge of this big success, to even mention me in like being, because, I mean, it's true what they say, really, but
yeah.
I'm surprised they said it because I've never said anything good about them. Every time I did an interview, I bad-mouthed the shit out of them.
Well, that's the kind of thing where people like abuse, you know.
Yeah, I think so too. So, I don't know. Everything's looking cool though. So, I mean, everything's go and everything's happening. So, you know, I'll definitely keep in touch and we'll keep this thing rolling.
All right.
In the meantime, I'll get you some copies of everything that I got, and I'll probably give you a call in a few weeks and let's give you an update on the situation.
All right. When's a good time to reach your brother?
Oh shit. He works from 12 noon till 8, so any time after 9 o'clock at night.
All right. You know that he has a band or something?
Yeah, he's playing with Joe Christ, which it's funny because Joe Christ opened for me when I played in Texas. He used to live in Texas.
Hmm.
And I guess one of the guys from Let's Patrol is playing. He told me he's doing it, but as soon as I get out, he told me that he's going to drop everything and get something together. Because I want him to play bass for me when I get my electric show together, and he wants to do that. Yeah, fucking. But you know, I did something for him to do right now.
I had a brief idea of maybe helping him out with promotion and billing him, you know, quote unquote.
Well,
G.G. Allen Brothers.
I imagine there. I mean, my brother's good. He's been in a lot of bands. He's been on a lot of albums himself. I can't imagine that anything that he's involved with, I'm sure, is worth looking into. I don't know. You never met my brother, have you?
No, I just spoken to him on the phone a few times.
You like him. He's pretty. I mean, he's not quite as crazy as I am, but he's got the same rock and roll attitude. I mean, he's into the whole thing.
Mm.
I think you get along with him.
How old is he?
34.
Oh, he's like a year or two older than you?
He's like real skinny, got a skinhead. He looks like he plays in a band, you know, he's got like tattoos all over him, and he just has that look about him that if you saw him on the street, you'd think this guy plays in a fucking band. You know, he's got that New York street look about him.
Yeah.
He's cool, but plus he can play. The motherfucker is one of the best bass players that I've ever played with, but I could never get into a band with him because he was married and I hated his wife, and when I was married, he hated my wife. And
you were married?
I was married once. Ain't that a son of a bitch? I got married then. I was married for about 3 years, and I said, fuck that.
Now I'm convinced you're crazy. No.
Yeah, well, you know, I got married. Actually, I got married before the first... I got married a long time ago. It was right about when we first put the first Jabberage single out. And the main reason why we got a divorce was the band, because it was so out of hand. And I, you know,
came home
all bloody every night. And I just was a miserable son of a bitch to live with anyway. And we just said, fuck it. And I just had to get on and get about, you know, to doing tours. And she wasn't into it. So, and then after I got out of that, he got married. I figured, okay, this is great. He's not married. I'm getting a divorce. We'll get something together. He got fucking married. I hated that bitch. And I started going out with this other girl, got her pregnant 3 times. And she was only 17.
Ooh.
So I almost got a lot of shit for that. But then he hated her. I don't know. We just never really got it together. But now, the girl he's married to now is cool.
Oh, this is his second wife.
Yeah, that's his second wife. She's cool. When we met her, she was after me. We met her at a Butthole Surfers show, and she came on to me, and we both took her home. And I got a little too rough with her. Merle gave me Valiums to knock me out,
mm-hmm.
And then he took over. Motherfucker, I never forgave him for that. But she was with both of us for a long time, and then I just said, well, fuck it, you know, you deserve it, because I'm going on the road. I don't want one woman. I got to have many, so...
Yeah.
He married her.
How old were you when you first got married?
She was 22 or something like that. And I married a girl that was 18, just out of high school, and she was beautiful. I mean, this bitch was a modeling instructor. We're still friends. We just couldn't live together for the most part. But the second bitch, I mean, after that, I fucked anything that walked. I did anyway with that, but I just didn't give a shit. You know, I just did not like being married, that it was a drag. But
yeah, maybe,
I don't know.
Yeah, when you turn 40, you're going to settle down, I'm sure.
Oh, never. As Hank Williams said, I'm not the marrying kind. You ever hear that song by Hank Williams?
No, but I have heard of Hank Williams, though.
Oh, you should. If you ever, there's this album he's got out, and it's got the song called, I love Hank Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a big Hank Williams. I mean, the old man Hank. Well, I guess he wasn't that old, but he looked like it.
Hank Williams Sr.
Senior, yeah. I mean, that's why when I did my acoustic record, I wanted to do it and not really do a lot of production with it or put drums or bass. I wanted it just to be raw vocals and guitar because that's what I like. That's what, when I listen to Hank Williams, it's just real raw. Or some of that old, like, Boxcar Willie or Stonewall Jackson or Skeeter Davis. I mean, that shit is great. Man, I can listen to that shit all day long.
Yeah, I mean, the more I listen to the record, or more, it reminds me of, like, not so much Hank Williams, but like old blues records of, like 78, you
and
know?
And I like that, too. You know, I like a lot. I just like that primitive-sounding, depressing kind of, you know. And plus, it's true that what I was singing was actually what was happening. And when I recorded that, I mean, it wasn't like something that I sat down and said, well, I'm going to write this because it goes good. I just sat down one day in a bathroom, and I just started, put the tape recorder on, and just started singing that motherfucker. And when I was done, I said, man, this fucking is incredible. I said, I got to record this. I said, nobody will ever put it out, but I got to record it anyway, just so if I die, it'll be somewhere, maybe, you know. And then when you wanted to put something out, I said, well, this is the opportunity to get this record. I mean, I still personally think it's a great record, and I probably always will. You know, regardless of what the reviews say, and I think it's kind of mixed, you know, but I think it's a great record, and everybody personally that has bought it, that has written to me, says it's great. I mean, they're real into it, so.
Hmm.
So I'm pretty happy with the outcome of it.
So am I. I mean, this is my best release. It's my best seller.
And you you know, it's one of those records that'll sell forever. It's like I was talking to Neil Cooper of Roar. I mean, that album came out in 1985, and I was talking to him a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him, I said, you still got, because that's everywhere still. And he says, yeah, he says, I put that record out. He says, and I keep selling it. He says, every year it sells more copies. He says, your album's just, you know, if people want to put them out, they sell forever.
Hmm.
You know, they just, you know, it seems like as years go on, people want my stuff more, even the older stuff. So I think it's one of those records that probably in another year or two, people will be, wow, we got to have that record. So, I mean, and plus it's something that you can keep putting out.
Yeah.
You know, you got the master there, so just keep doing it as long as it'll go.
That I will.
Okay, Stuart, I'm going to get on here, but I'll be in touch. I'll get back to you in 3 or 4 weeks, whatever. As soon as I find out anything, I'll let you know.
All right, then I'll give your brother a call either tomorrow or Thursday.
Okay, good deal, and I'll send you that stuff.
Beautiful.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.